All right.
What happened?
to all our family and friends. I want you to remember this life.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you so much for that introduction. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone. This is December. Let me see. This is December 20th, Sunday, 2015. And the year has really has gone by pretty fast. And lovely day here in Chicago. It's what? 607, 608, straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time, CDD time on Block Talk Radio, George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for following this show and following me all around the social media. Thank you. And there has, as they say, the force is strong with this one. All right. Did anybody watch the Democratic debate last night? I mean, I watched it, and I was ranting yesterday on yesterday's show about some of the network not putting the debates on network television so everybody can view them, because most people don't have cable. Some people don't have cable. Some people purposely don't want the high-ass bills, but when I tune into the debate right after the show, I found out that the debate was on Channel 7, and that was a good feeling, because that's over-the-air television, that's free television. Maybe somebody heard me ranting and raving to say, hey, wow, George is right, put this on network television, and lo and behold, it was on Channel 7. And I want to say I watched some of the debate. I didn't watch the whole thing, but what I did watch of the debate, it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. It was like I have said, it was like a fresh air from what the Republicans had done the night before. I mean, these three people on stage, they were respectful to each other. I mean, there was issues discussed, you know, policy discussed. There was no backbiting, no arguments, no fighting, no verbal or physical fighting on the stage, as we have seen with the Republicans' debate. So this was very civil. And it was totally informative. And my only gripe is that there's only six of them, whereas the Republicans have about, I don't know, 9 or 10. And I, like I said yesterday, I blame the DNC for this. I blame Debbie Watson Schultz, because the reason why she has only six debates, as I said in the previous shows, is because she wants to lessen the exposure of Bernie Sanders and put more exposure on the candidate that she wants, which is Hillary Clinton. And a lot of us don't think that is fair. But getting back to the debate, I don't think I have to reiterate. I don't have any clips to play. I didn't download any. And, you know, I don't think I need to download any of these clips. It was a great debate. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. I can't wait for the next Democratic debate. I can do without the Republicans' debate, because they're going to do is lie and try to scare you to death, you know, fear. And I think they've been successful in some of the fear-mongering because, like I said in yesterday's shows and previous shows, it's all about getting you to buy a gun. And Americans, what are they doing? They're buying guns because of the fear factor. The fear factor is that terrorism may come knocking at your front door one day. And if it does, you want to be able to handle it because you're going to have a gun. This is what have done so far in their debates is scare Americans to death. Now, the Democratic debate did not do that. It did not scare people to death. They talked about the issues pertaining to America. The issues, okay? And that's what we wanted to do. It was civil. They respected each other, unlike the Republicans. They go at each other's throat. I mean, they really do. Jeb Bush and Donald Trump. Wow. They are buffoonish. And I want to say something about the movie Star Wars. It is breaking records of this Star Wars, the Forces Awaken or something like that. And I haven't seen it. I've chatted with people who did see it, and they say it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It is pretty good. I don't want to be trampled by a mob of people trying to get into the theater. So maybe I will just wait until it comes out on video, on DVD, or I'll just wait until the crowds die down a little bit before I go and see it. But anyway, it's breaking box office records all over the place. Wow, I just wished I had a little bit of stock into this movie. I'd be rich. But it is breaking records all over the place. I mean, everybody who's involved with the movie is, I'm pretty sure, whether parts of. So only thing you can do is just say, oh, hey, wow, that's good. That's great. I think it's great for America. I really do. I think it's great for America. So the force is strong with this one. And as Hillary Clinton said last night at the end of the debate, she had the last word, and her last words were, let the force, and I quote, let the force be with you. I thought that was clever. I really thought that was really, really clever. I mean, those few words knocked every Republican debate that they've ever had out into the sea, in my estimation. If you want my opinion on it, this was the best debate of all debates. Even the last two of the Democratic debates. This was the best debate of, I mean, if you calculate and put all of them together, there's been about, let's see, five, maybe eight or nine debates already between these two. I mean, collectively. And this is clearly the best one. The one held yesterday on the 19th of Saturday. You know, it was the best one from my estimation. 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. As I've said last night, there will be no guests on this show all month because it's Christmas. We're going to take a few days off to celebrate Christmas. I won't be back on the air until maybe around the 28th, 29th, and 30th and 31st, if possible. But I do know starting next year, this show will be getting a brand new boost, and it's going to be, I'm going to change the format up. We're going to be coming on different days, but we're going to keep the time. We're going to get off the weekends because I think most people are doing other things on weekends. So we're going to try and get off the weekends, try to up the ratings on the show, which is great. The show is doing great as it is, but I want to try and get to reach more people out there because I think this is a show for people. This is a excuse me. Wow. As I've stated so many times, and eloquently, this is the talk of our times, and it is. It is. And we're going to format the show, so we're going to go on a hiatus on this show unless I just feel a need to just do a show, or I just feel a need to, or if I'm compelled, but I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think December is it for me booking guests. But I like I said in last night's show, January 2016 is book solid. I mean, I've got guests for almost every day, and they're great guests, wonderful guests. Some of them are television personalities, and I'm pretty sure a lot of them have whatever they're offering, whatever they're going to be talking about, it's going to be informative. It's going to be something that you and I can use, hopefully, whether it's knowledge or something tangible. It's going to be something that we can use, because I always try to have people on this show who relates to my audience, you know, because you are it. Believe me, and the force is with you. All right. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me. All right. Here we go.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Like I said, I thought just like a lot of other people that the debate was just wonderful, and I think it was a breath of fresh air. It was like taking a shower, you know, after the Republicans debacle. I mean, you felt clean when you were listening to the debate last night. In a Democratic debate focused on national security, Saturday evening, yesterday on this date, topic notably was missing from the moderator's questions: climate change. Yeah, I agree. No one really talked about climate change, but I don't think there was too many people who wanted to hear much about climate change except for the media. Even though a major climate agreement was reached recently, it didn't even come up during Saturday's two-hour debate or the GOP debate that was Tuesday. Climate change, we're talking about climate change. Climate change can increase the likelihood of migration pressures and change the availability of natural resources, which can lead to conflict among different groups of people. The issue has also been linked to the cause of Syrian civil war, which candidates did not spend a chunk of time discussing Saturday evening, which I'm thinking is the reason because they did not think probably that is what Americans wanted to hear, but the media thinks that it was important for us to hear. I personally did not, you know, miss, they did not talk about climate change, but I can tell you something, something's happening. I mean, we get some weird weather here. I mean, there is no more spring, summer, winter, fall. It's just whatever happens, you know, it's whatever we get, it's what we get. Okay. All right. While some candidates, such as former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, which I think Martin O'Malley did a great job, even though he is being, you know, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are sucking up all the air in the room. But Martin O'Malley did a great job last night in the debate. I mean, he was super. From my money, I think he could be a great president. He's a former governor of Maryland. Okay, we're learning a lot about him. I didn't know anything about him because he was obsolete, but the debates have really given him a name. So people know about him. He seems like a great guy, a wonderful guy. He's very knowledgeable, intelligent, informative, everything the Republicans are not. So if Martin O'Malley, you know, he's probably not going to be president, but his name would be out there. I'm pretty sure if Bernie Sanders get it, if Hillary Clinton gets it, I'm pretty sure Martin O'Malley would probably have a place in her cabinet in the White House. The guy is good. And I can almost tell that Hillary Clinton was impressed with him, as we all were. We all were. Okay, refer to climate change in their debate. He did not talk about it. None of them talked about it. It's really not an issue with me and some people. But like I said, the media seems to want to dwell on this, and they can dwell on anything they want. This was a super debate. I can't wait for the next one. And probably during the next one, I may have some clips to play. But I do have clips to play, probably. But some of the clips I have to play, they're unrelated. But this was just a breath of fresh air compared to the clown bus last Tuesday. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on Block Talk Radio. And the force is with you. The movie is just breaking out strong. Okay, let's see what we get. Can we move right along? Okay, what we have? Happy holidays. Some good news. We've been inundated with bad news. Only gets worse. And I think watching in the debate last night was some good news. Great news. And as always, people are talking about Donald Trump. You talk about Donald Trump because he's the media getter. He's all over the television. You know, I mean, people want him on their show, you know. And he can come on this show if he wants. You know, we can talk. We can talk. All righty. Okay. Bernie apologizes to Hillary. I thought that was classic. That was stand-up. That was stand-up. And also, as he apologized to Hillary Clinton, I'm pretty sure you know why. And then he takes a shot at the DNC, the National Democratic Committee, which is headed up by no other than the incompetent Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who I've talked about yesterday, who's trying to make sure that Hillary gets the nomination and Bernie doesn't. But as good as Martin O'Malley was yesterday, she should be concerned about him also. Like so many of us have said before, this lady is incompetent. I'm not saying this because she's a woman, but if it was a man, I would probably say the same. I would say the same thing about a man, especially when you're in a vital post like that, and then you in the pockets of someone else. We don't need the Democrats fighting Democrats, because if that happens, like I've said before, that fuels the way for a Republican to take office in 2016. And it does. And it does. It really does. And Bernie apologizing to Hillary, that's just stand-up. I mean, that is just how stand-up of a guy he is. And some people criticize him, saying that he's a socialist. Some people are making fun of his age, saying he's too old. Bernie is not too old. And I really take issue with the media not giving Bernie Sanders the equal amount of coverage, television coverage, media coverage, that they're giving to Donald Trump and that they're giving to Hillary Clinton. When Bernie Sanders could whoop every one of those Republicans on stage collectively, but yet the media do not give him that coverage because they don't like what he's saying. They don't like his message. And the Republicans, they don't want to run against Bernie Sanders. They want to run against Hillary Clinton. That's why when the Republicans have their debate, the only name that they're mentioning is Hillary Clinton. They're not going to mention Bernie Sanders. They're not going to talk about the other Democratic candidate, which is Martin O'Malley. They're just going to talk about Hillary Clinton because they want Hillary Clinton to be the nominee. Even some Republicans are going to vote for her so she can be the nominee. They want her to be the nominee so they can kick her ass in terms of votes. Wow. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. Please, please look me up on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. I'm all over the place, and always, I'm always posting things that I think people can use. You know, too many people out here need things and information that they can use, and you can always get that information that you can use right here on this show. And I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Okay, I think that's cute. Okay. All right, we're back. We're back. Thank you for staying with me, everybody. Thank you for coming back to the show. Okay, we're still talking about Bernie Sanders. He is very pissed off at the DNC, and rightly so. Okay, Bernie Sanders says the DNC didn't treat him fairly in shutting off his data access, and he's pissed. During an appearance, I mean, he was on one of the Sunday shows on NBC Meet the Press Sunday, actually, today. Well, if you're listening to this is live, so if you're listening to the show, it might not be Sunday. But he was on Meet the Press Sunday. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont said the Democratic National Committee did not treat his campaign fairly when it cut off access to a shared voter database. This is what he's saying after the debate. Okay, host Chuck Todd, which I'm not too friendly with, host Chuck Todd asked the Democratic presidential contender about the DNC's move, which came in the wake of revelations that at least one of Sanders' staffers accessed proprietary voter data held by Hillary Clinton's campaign after a firewall temporarily went down. Okay, the two sides have since reached an agreement, okay, because Bernie had brought a lawsuit against him. He brought a lawsuit, and suddenly they didn't want that lawsuit to go to court. So they quickly settled with him and restored his data, okay, and access to the data has been restored. But not before Sanders' campaign used the episode as a fundraising boom. Yeah, after that, I mean, I think he raised at least $1 million. Because I said before, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is trying to cripple Bernie Sanders and shut him down. And all that did was just made his voter base stronger. especially when somebody's trying to tear you down, when they see you moving up. It happens. They will try to belittle you, and Sanders said that that's not going to happen. Okay, Bernie Sanders was asked the question, do you believe that the DNC was treating you fairly? Todd asked the underdog White House contender, and this is what Bernie said. I think this instance they did not, Bernie said on the two occasions now. Chuck, in the last breaches have occurred and the result of the incompetence of the DNC vendors. And Sanders echoed his apology to the Clinton campaign, which he first made during the Saturday night's Democratic primary debate, and said the members of his staff screwed up. He said the members of his staff screwed up. It wasn't him, and the Republicans are trying to. I'm pretty sure they're pouncing on Bernie Sanders. They're also pouncing on Hillary Clinton. As the Republicans go, I'm pretty sure they're going to find a way to blame Obama for this. I mean, the Republicans blame Obama for everything. If Obama walked on water, they'd find some way negatively to blame him for that, you know. So, it was totally the DMC's fault for this. Okay, and from what I'm hearing, the staffer who looked at all of this Clinton's data was fired. This person was fired. So this should be the end of it. This should be the end of it, but I'm pretty sure the media, the Republicans, going to play on it and use it because, you know, they're thinking it's going to get them votes, right? And the Republican debate, another one, I think it's the sixth or seventh one, is coming up. I'm pretty sure all that they're going to do is scare people once more, scare you. However, Donald Trump said that the debate should be lessened. There should be less people on the stage. And he's right on one thing, and one contention he's right on, that the Republicans should talk about more issue-related, oriented issues that pertaining to grassroots Americans. Poverty, the middle class, the poor, foreign policy, gun control, infrastructure, social programs. Every issue there is to be talked about, family leave, every issue there is to talk about, the Republicans should be talking about it. But the only thing these guys could do is go to each other's throat. It's fun watching the Republicans. It's ridiculously fun because they're not going to talk about the issues. They're not going to talk about what's pertaining to America. If they try to talk about the issues, they're lying. They're pandering for votes. Because they know that the 99%ers, most of the 99%ers are liberals, progressives, middle-class people, grassroots people who vote Democratic when they vote, if they vote. And that's another thing I want to talk about, voting, because this show is going to be dedicated to that all the way up to the 2016 election. Trying to get people to the polls, trying to get people excited about voting, trying to get people who never voted to vote. Because if you do not vote, the Republicans are going to get this. And like Clinton said last night, it's going to be a phenomenal change. They're going to defund Planned Parenthood. They're going to cut Social Security. They're going to cut out the social programs that help so many middle class and poor and struggling families. It's going to be a different world, it will seem like, if a Republican gets in there. So we have to do our part. We can change the world. I've said this a zillion times. We can change the way things are in this country, in the United States. We can do it. But if we sit back on our asses, a Republican will be running the United States. The Republicans already run corporations. Who do you think running this country? The rich people are already running it. They're running it. The poor is not running. They don't have any money. The rich people, the rich corporations are running this country. Every senator and probably every representative in the halls of Congress is bought off, paid for. Instead of those senators and representatives representing you and me, the people who put their asses there, they're representing the people who are filling their campaign coffers, putting money in their pocket so they can run a second time for office, regardless of, you know, if we vote for them or not. The Republicans, they don't want us to vote. That's why they keep trying to suppress the vote. That's why they're trying to make it hard for us to vote, because they know if we vote, their asses will not be elected. So they try so hard to get to keep us from voting. They even talk about how voting is bad for us, you know, just to keep us from voting. Because if we don't vote, the Republicans are going to run everything. We can keep them out. Now, there's a lot of people around this country who are totally, totally dissatisfied with the Republicans. They are totally dissatisfied, but we got to get those dissatisfied people to the polls. Don't just be dissatisfied and lay on your ass. Oh, I'm not going to vote. All politicians are cheaters, liars, corrupt. Yeah, you're right. Some of them are, and they are, but you still have to make that choice. You still have to get out there and vote because it's your duty. And this has been said 1,000 times. People have died, fought and died to give you this privilege to vote. You don't vote. You're letting those people down who have fought and died for you to give you that opportunity. You're letting them down. Of course, you don't care, probably. You know, I don't give a damn. I'm not going out there. I'm not going to vote. Go get me a can of beer and light up a cigarette. Look at the girls. Yeah, you're going to lay back and look at the girls, all right, out in the streets, because the Republicans are going to tax the hell out of you. They're going to take everything from you. They're going to take everything from you. And I try so many times to try to get people involved in politics. You don't have to be a pundit. You don't have to know politics. I don't. I certainly don't. But get involved. Learn a little bit about it. Get involved. Find out what's going on. Because you are paying to be here. All these taxes. You go to the store. You're paying sales taxes on everything you buy. If you're living in your apartment, if you're paying rent, you're also paying property taxes. Property taxes, they are included in that rent. As you know, if you own a home, you're automatically going to be paying property taxes, and they come along once or twice a year, and they're going to be high as hell. So I would suggest, you know, vote. I mean, we can change things. We can really, really change things if we get out here and we do what we have to do. We have to do what we have to do. Mayor Rahm Emanuel raised Chicago taxes about a month or so ago. The taxes, property tax, $588 million over two or three years, I believe. It's something like that. And that's just awful. And now Michael Madigan of the Democratic legislature in Illinois wants to raise it again. Board, the president of the Cook County Board, she has raised taxes. Taxes, 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 taxes. You're raising taxes, more taxes on people who are already taxed to death. Here's a clip.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel on Tuesday laid out a stark choice for the cash-strapped city as he proposed a 2016 budget aimed at resolving a financial crisis linked to unfunded pensions, either slash vital public safety and other services, or enact the biggest ever property tax increase. In a half-hour speech to Chicago's 50 aldermen, Emanuel said spending cuts would mean reducing 20% of the police force, closing 48 fire stations and laying off 40% of the city's firefighters. In short, if we were to fund our pensions with cuts alone, our city services would become unreliable. Our city would become unlivable. And that would be totally unacceptable, he said, promising his plan would wipe out Chicago's structural budget deficit within the next 4 years. Emanuel, who was elected to a second term in February, proposed a $543 million increase in property taxes, between now and 2018, to cover police and fire pensions. Facing a budget shortfall that could hit $745 million, Emanuel is also proposing a per-ride surcharge on taxi and ride-sharing services to raise $48.6 million and a new monthly garbage fee of $9.50 per household to gain $62.7 million. Garbage pickup is currently free for residences. While Emanuel's proposals usually pass the city council easily, the property tax hike may meet resistance. Every time there was a property tax increase of any size, there has been an aldermanic revolt, said Dick Simpson, political science professor at University of Illinois at Chicago and a former alderman in the 1970s. Ed Burke, chairman of the city council's finance committee, said aldermen will have opportunities in the coming weeks to see if there are other solutions. Public service requires people to display courage and take tough votes, and this is a tough vote, Burke told reporters after the mayor's speech. Alderman Scott Wagsback, a member of the council's small, but vocal progressive caucus, said the property tax increase will be hard for taxpayers to swallow. We've offered, the mayor, specifically at least 24 revenue streams and other options, waste and inefficiencies, that can be fixed, and we just haven't seen it in this proposal, he told reporters. If the third largest U.S. city cannot get its finances under control, Chicago faces further downgrades by credit rating agencies, thus making it more expensive to raise funds through bond sales. Moody's Investors Service, which has already cut the city's credit rating to junk, said on Tuesday it would withhold comment until a budget is passed. The mayor's overall budget for the fiscal year beginning January 1 totals $9.32 billion. Which includes $3.63 billion of spending on operations. Emanuel said the lion's share of the higher property tax burden would be on owners of more costly homes and commercial buildings. But that depends on whether Illinois lawmakers approve an expanded property tax exemption for owners of homes valued at $250,000 or less. A House hearing on the idea is scheduled for Thursday. Alderman Brendan Riley, who represents the downtown Central Business District, said piling more taxes onto businesses risks pushing the city's economy to a tipping point. In addition to the expanded exemption, Emanuel is counting on the state to enact a law to lower the city's contributions to its police and fire pension funds, which are due to spike starting this year. However, the city's requests have become entangled in the Illinois budget standoff between the Republican governor and Democrats who control the legislature. Governor Bruce Rauner wants to temporarily freeze local property taxes, while giving local governments ways to save money, including curbing collective bargaining with their workers, a move strongly opposed by Democrats. Meanwhile, the city council could as soon as Thursday approve bond sales for Chicago, including a restructuring and refunding of $500 million of general obligation bonds and $2 billion of new and refunding revenue bonds for O'Hare Airport. In the wake of credit downgrades, the city has had to pay a stiff penalty to sell its bonds. Nothing about this particular budget proposal is going to change our view on the city, said Andrew Clinton, president of Clinton Investment Management.
All right. All right. That was a clip on the massive tax hike that's going to be taking place in Chicago starting January 2016. And it's going to affect all of us. It's going to be devastating. It's going to rock a lot of people's world. Going to price a lot of people out of their apartments, out of their homes. It's just ridiculous how Mayor Emanuel has really stuck his hand into our pockets and pulling out cash. you know, and trying to say, well, basically it's property taxes. It's for the schools and the teachers' pension. I don't want to pay for no schools. I don't want to pay for no teachers' pension. But it's going to happen. It's going to the highest damn taxes, one under New Jersey. We've got the highest taxes in the nation. And they just keep on going up. Some people say, well, George, why do you keep bitching? Because I can and because I want to. And I think a lot of other people should be bitching also. This is terrible. This is pricing people out, period. I'm pretty sure Emmanuel has heard it, but he doesn't give a damn. I'm not obligated to pay anybody's pension. I am not obligated to pay for schools. Going to force me to pay for schools and pay for somebody's pension for them to retire? I don't want to do that. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people echoing the same thing I'm doing. Taxes are just too damn high. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Look me up on Block Talk Radio right here. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. Make sure you go to my Amazon website, download some of my books. I'm an author, and that should be all good. Sarah Palin, okay, let me move on. Sarah Palin compares grassroots conservatives to battered women. Yeah, this is Sarah Palin, the Sarah Palin. She's comparing conservatives to battered women. Now, only Sarah Palin can say some crap like that. And I quote, here's a quote from her. It's time to kick our abusers out of the White House. Change the locks. Keep a loaded shotgun next to the bed. This woman is just wild and just gets wilder all the time. You know, and she's ridiculous. Okay. Oh, well, this is one hell of an analogy. Wow. In a guest column Saturday, Sarah Palin likened the GOP lawmakers backing the federal spending bill to domestic abusers battering their wives. This woman is crazy. I mean, and when you think about it, everybody on the Republican aisle in the Republican Party has some sort of mental lapse. Here's another quote. The GOP establishment in Congress is our abuser, the former Republican Alaska mayor, governor, wrote of the relationship between the Republican lawmakers and the conservative voters. We can't hide the black eye anymore. She's comparing this to domestic abuse, and this is no comparison to domestic abuse. But like a battered wife, she says, we keep going back because every 4 years they bring us flowers, beg our forgiveness, and then swear they'll never hit us again. She is crazy. She's comparing her own party. She's also a conservative. She's comparing her own Republican Party to battered women, as if the Republicans, the conservatives, are beating up on their women. She doesn't make sense. She never has been made sense. I've got that movie in my library. They made a movie about her when she was running for vice president with John McCain back in 2008. I can't think of the name of it, but it really, really showcases Palin. I don't think it does her any harm at all, because Sarah Palin is more crazier than the movie that they made about her. She's more crazier based off a book. Okay, she's more crazier than that, and she's comparing domestic violence is a serious issue, and she should leave it alone, because if she's trying to analogize it, it's just get more stupider every every step of the way as the words come out of her mouth. Okay, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm in my studio, as always, near the lake, and it's cold near the lake this time of the year. And I don't think we're going to have any snow. I don't think we're going to have any snow this coming up Christmas. At least the weather people said we're not going to have any. And the temperatures are, record-breaking. They're higher than normal for this time of the year. But I'm fine with it. You know, I'm okay with it. And I want to bring some I said this show would be about good news. Maybe a little, but not a lot of good news, because the Chicago Bears have just lost their third game in a row, and this time they lost really, really badly. Playoffs are way out of the world. It's not going to happen for the Bears. They got two more games to play. Whether they win or lose, it's got to be a shakeup in the Bears. I mean, they just got a new manager, a new coach, and looks like they're going to be searching for another one. I mean, this is not a sports show, but I have to do something, say something about it, because I'm in Chicago and I do watch football and I do like football. I am a Bears fan, but it just sickens me that these guys cannot get their acts together and win games. I mean, you think about it. These guys, the Bears, these athletes, the players, they get paid good money, great money, money that you and I are probably never make in a lifetime. They have jobs. Their job is to win games, catch the ball, not fumble, try not to commit too many penalties that's going to cause you to lose the game. If they're not winning games, they're not doing their jobs. Kyle Long, this guy done blew so many tackles, it's a damn shame, giving Jay Cutler no time to throw, where Jay Cutler gets sacked on his ass because of his offensive line breaking down on him. Jay Cutler is still a good quarterback, but his offensive line, they have to give him time to throw the ball. And the defense on the Bears, they have to stop giving up so many damn points to the other team. So I'm saying it this way, and there's a ton of sports people on radio and television talking about some of the same things, because they also witnessed the game. A lot of the fans are disappointed. I am disappointed, because I think the Bears are a good team. I think the Bears have a great quarterback, but there's no doubt about it. Whether they win these two last games or lose them, the Bears are going to need to rebuild. Somehow, somebody somewhere can't go out here and scout good players. Now, the Bears picked up a player, I forget his name, I think his name is Richard Wright, last year, and this guy, he's a running back, he's a receiver, and he hasn't played one iota of a game. He got injured in an exhibition game, and when the regular season came around, he was too injured to play. And he was a first draft pick, got his hand on the ball in the regular season. That's a waste of money for the Bears. The guy was injured in the exhibition game. He signed a contract. The Bears still have to pay him. And he has not been on that field. Now, this is at the feet of the general manager, the person who goes out to scout these players and sign these players and hand them over to the coach, to be winners. This is a shame. Jay Cutler is a good quarterback. He just needs a good offensive line, and he also needs good defensive players. And that's what the Bears have not got. They don't have that. Because a lot of us was thinking today that the Bears are going to win. They were going to win. If the Bears would have won today, they would have had a foothold in getting into the playoffs. But now their playoff chances have gone. The only thing the players are playing for now is a spot on next year's team. And it's going to be some big time changes. The Bears management, they have to let him go, because I do believe that John something, he has called a few plays that didn't work out. They need a new coach. They need new players, especially an offensive line that's going to give Jay Cutler time to throw and not let him get sacked all the time, you know, with the blitzes. Yeah, a lot of us are disappointed. We are disappointed because we are sports fans. And I'm a Jay Cutler fan because I think I watched the guy. I studied the guy. I researched the guy. I watch every football game with the helm as being quarterback. And he's good if he has time to throw. So I'm thinking that Jay Cutler is going to be back next year. It's just that a bunch of the other guys should be on airplanes going someplace else. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, venting because my Chicago Bears have just lost. They are always losing. What are they now? 5-9? I mean, if you're 5-9, I mean, last year they were 5-11. Who knows? They may just go 5-11 this year too. It's awful. We have champions in the Chicago Cubs because they won 92 games or something this year. And the coach was the coach of the year. Then we have the Blackhawks. I mean, Patrick King. I mean, he is a superstar. The guy makes $94 million a year or something close to that. He deserves it, you know. But the Bears can't seem to do anything. Jay Cutler throws a good ball. Jay Cutler has two touchdowns today. He had two. But Bridgewater, on the other side, who plays for the Minnesota Vikings, I think he had 4 or 5 touchdowns against the Bears. The score was like 38-17, something like that. So the Bears lost big time. The defense gave up a lot of points. And the Bears offensive line, they just did not protect Cutler in time for him to throw the ball. When they protect Cutler, give him time to throw the ball, hey, it's a positive outcome. He's going to get a lot of yardage, or he's going to throw for a touchdown, one of the two. But if he doesn't get the time to throw, then they sack him. Wow, you know. So, all right, let's move right along. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. 347-857 says, boo. 857-1762. You miss the show here. You miss a lot. Stay tuned. George Wilder Jr. Show. Do not listen to any other show but me. This is the internet radio show, and this is great. This is wonderful. And thank you so much for being out there. Like I said before, we're going to reformat the show for 2016. We're going to take some time off for Christmas vacation. We should be back in 2016, or unless I decide I want to come on the air, I just stay, set up a show and just come on. And I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our time.
Oh, yeah.
This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like I'm in a sewer somewhere, you know. So, and I want to say something about the Illinois budget. We're still in a budget. We're still in, there's still no state budget, and it's just ridiculous. I done screamed and yelled so much because of this, I'm getting hoarse. There is still no state budget, and these guys are so far apart. I'm talking about Bruce Rauner, Mike Madigan, and John Cullerton. They are so far apart. And they are ruining this state. That's past tense. Let me put it in the present tense. They have ruined the state, period. And they're looking to ruin it some more because they're refusing to pay their bills. I mean, you and I have bills. The state has bills, but the state doesn't want to pay its bills because Rauner wants to destroy unions. He wants to bust unions. He wants to stop collective bargaining. He wants to make this state a right-to-work state, and there's about 60,000 workers who work for the state of Illinois, and majority of them are against his budget, against him wanting to bust unions. But Rauner's a billionaire. He's going to try and buy his way in Illinois. He's going to try to buy his way. He's buying his influence. If Rauner wants people to like him, all he has to do is give them money, and they're going to like him, and they're going to do what he says, even if they don't really care anything about him, because it's his money. It's his money. And if the Democrats in the legislature raise taxes, Rauner is going to use that against him to ask us out, because he knows that we don't want more high taxes. Madigan does, and Madigan is a Democrat. So when Rauner wants to run his flunkies for office, he's going to use that as an issue that the Democrats want to raise taxes, or the Democrats have raised taxes, and he knows that people are sick and tired of being taxed to death. Rauner is right on that issue. But I still think that Rauner is out of touch with the people of Illinois. I really do. And there are so many people every day, downtown Chicago, rallying against Rauner and his steadfast in not signing a state for the state of Illinois. Even though there's spending going on because of the federal judge. Their input, not Rauner. The reason why this state is still open and still running is because of court orders, not because of the leaders that are supposed to, that these leaders are supposed to be leading the state. It's because of court orders, and that's a damn shame. That's a damn shame. Both the Republicans and the Democrats collectively are ruining or have ruined this state. And they seem as though they just don't give a damn about trying to get it back on track when they can. Now, there's budgets on Rauner's desk right now to dig this state out of the mess, but he will not sign it. He will not sign it because there's nothing in those bills saying that he can cut unions and decimate collective bargaining, which is what he wants to do. He still want to try and get his turnaround agenda through the legislature, and the legislature said, "Hey, wow, that turnaround agenda we can do later. Let's do a budget." Rauner doesn't want that. He's saying, "The hell with that. I want to bust unions. I don't want collective bargaining. I don't want anything." And he's trying to successfully blame Democrats for ruining the state. If he had never been elected, this would not be happening. I admit Democrats are gutless, spineless. Some of them are just as ridiculous. But let's face it, if Rauner had never been elected, we would not be in this mess that we're in, period. And on the and if I can say it, and the only reason why he was elected is because people of Illinois did not vote. I think 25% of the people in Illinois voted. If people that came out in droves and voted last November, we would probably have Pat Quinn. He wasn't a great governor, but he would have not let the state fall into the demise that these clowns have. When I say clowns, I'm talking about Bruce Rauner and Mike Madigan. Michael Madigan got his ass on television the other day and talking about raising taxes. Nobody want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. And I'm serious. We did not want to hear that because taxes were already raised by Rahm Emanuel, $588 million. Property taxes. Taxes were raised by the president of the Cook County Board, Tony Preckwinkle. She raised sales taxes. And every time you look around, somebody wants to raise taxes. Taxes, tax, tax, tax. Rauner may have a point. Even though I am not a Rauner fan, I think he's bad for Illinois. But the Democrats are playing right into his hand. And this is why they lose. They lose. They always lose. I'll never forget back in 2010. Early 2010. That was a time when we had President Obama, Democrat, we had a Democrat Congress, senators and representatives. The Democrats had it all in early 2010. They owned everything. However, when November 2010 rolled around, they got their asses kicked out of Congress, both sides. And the Republicans sailed right in there. Why? Because Democrats couldn't stick together. They could not stick together. If they did, they were bickering, fighting, hunkering for a chance to get in front of the cameras and lie to the people. Attention. Voting against the president, voting against their own constituency because they were in charge of everything and they... You know, the media was constantly running up behind them. They couldn't stand fame. They couldn't. So they lost. And the Republicans sailed right in there. Another reason why the Republicans won Congress in 2010, people did not vote. People were upset at the Democrats. They were pissed off because they felt that the Democrats was not representing them the way they wanted them too, and they were correct. The Dems were bought off, bought and paid for, just like the Republicans. This is why I say we have to vote. We have to do something. Or we're going to get Donald Trump said he's going to give Sarah Palin a cabinet post in his administration. That's going to be bad if that happens. That's going to be awful. Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. There's no doubt about it. It's not going to be Jeb Bush. It's not going to be Marco Rubio. It sure the hell is not going to be Carly Fiorina. She's awful. It's not going to be Rand Paul, but I think he's the most sane among them. It's not going to be big fat ass Chris Christie. The bozo bus, the clown bus, going to be Donald Trump. No matter how buffoonish, no matter how bullyish, no matter how ridiculous, no matter how he just batters his competition, it's going to be Donald Trump because his supporters want Donald Trump to be Donald Trump. And the media... they're all over Donald Trump. Every media outlet out there wants Donald Trump on their show because they know it's going to turn into a rating bonanza. Ratings bonanza. And ratings mean more dollars in their pockets. That's why they're after Donald Trump. And, you know, it's going to be something. I think it's going to be – actually, I think it's going to be Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. That's what I think it's going to be, wind up being Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, even though I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders, you know. But I do think it's maybe – unless Bernie Sanders break out. I'm pretty sure he just might break out of this. And it could wind up Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. And we know who's going to win that. Bernie Sanders is going to trample Donald Trump. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, ranting as always. I don't have any guests on the show, but I do have the month of January 2016 all booked up with great people for this show, great, wonderful people, knowledgeable people. Tune in January 26th, and you're going to get all kind of great guests on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we're going to have great topics for this show. It's going to be a better show, I think. Come up June 2016, it will be 2 years for me on this show. 2 years, if I'm correct. If I'm correct. So like I said before, if I can digress a little bit, this state is in a flux. Here is some of the protest that is against Bruce Rauner and his turnaround agenda that is hurting this state. I played this clip before. It's always a signature against Bruce Rauner.
Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the state of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on the sales street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something? We don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let them. Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Brook City. No, this is the city and the state of the people of Illinois that deserve the best that it has to offer. We are not going to be held hostage. We're not going to be held against our will. Our children are not going to be the cannon fodder to fight your fight. This is something that needs to be addressed. We want the governor as your voice and as your ears down in Springfield. We want the governor to come to the table not talking about things that doesn't need. We don't need to be talking about remapping. A budget has nothing to do with remapping. It doesn't have to be a term limit. It's called come out and vote. Get the vote. That we need to be talking about. How do we fund those essential things that make us competitive, not only in the United States, but in the global economy? This is not about being a vulture capitalist. Who do you know, where do you know that a CEO tears down his own business just so he can make more money? Vulture capitalists. That's what they do. This is not a vulture capitalist situation. This is a budget about people, the budget about numbers, or that in his mind, a budget about numbers. There's a face on every dollar that's in the budget. And we want those dollars spent on the things that we need to be the citizens that we can be. And that is making sure that we have not only daycare, but many of you also know we need people working night care. Because this is a 24-hour city, it's a 24-hour fight, and we're going to stay in it for 24 hours as long as it takes. So let's stay together, let's stay connected, and we beat the bullies.
All right, okay. This is no news. I'm about to say something, or this is no news. Bernie Sanders calls Donald Trump a pathological liar. That's because we all know Donald Trump was a pathological liar. Donald Trump knows he's a pathological liar, but he's going to come back on Bernie Sanders. This is kind of a way for Bernie Sanders to get Donald Trump to notice him. To get Donald Trump to acknowledge him, because a lot of the conservatives, they don't acknowledge him. They act as if Bernie Sanders does not exist. So Bernie Sanders is calling Donald Trump a pathological liar. We know that. We know that. We see it all the time. I mean, he's on television, and on the Democratic debates, on the Republican debate stage, we know that. So that's kind of no news, but it's good to see and to hear Bernie Sanders striking back at these people to let them know that he is in the race and he is a serious, serious contender for the president of the United States. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. It is 46 degrees in Chicago. It is 7:23 a.m. Believe this. Okay, one of the Republican candidates for president, Carly Fiorina, she says, this is, and I quote, "I'll be the next president because I'm totally the most qualified." The most qualified, she screwed up her company. She was the CEO of Hewlett Packard. She laid off a number of workers and damn near took the company under until they fired her. But she thinks she'll make a great president. Ain't that something? She's not going to get anywhere near the White House. But she's getting name recognition because she's on the debate stage and she's all over the television, especially Fox News. She is totally delusional. She will not be president. She won't be. She will not be president, and she knows it. She knows she will not be president. She just all that Botox and plastic surgery, trying to look pretty, trying to look young. It's not working. It's totally not working. It is totally, totally not working. Okay, someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds. Let's see what we have. All right, 90 seconds. I'm just about off the air. I'm going to try and be on in about a week or so. Okay, in New Hampshire, Bernie Sanders has 56%, Hillary 42%, O'Malley's at 1%. I think O'Malley should be a lot more at 1%, but Sanders within the margin of error in Iowa and clear front runner in New Hampshire. Wow, the debate has really, really poll numbers. Go Bernie, go Bernie, go Bernie Sanders. As long as it's not a Republican, I really don't care, but I'm backing Bernie Sanders. Thank you, everybody. Have a great holiday. Merry Christmas and all that good stuff. Happy New Year. I will be back. I'm thinking I'm going to be back before. I'm going to do more shows before the month is out, probably around the last week of December. Goodbye, everybody, and thanks.
After decades of ignoring or delaying financial obligations like pension funds,